Amen. Amen. The Lord has been working things out here. Amen. And we do thank him for his goodness and his mercy. Amen. So the youth really, really showed out, didn't they? Oh, my, my, my. I was just blessed. They worked on it and came in and represented. Did a good job. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're looking for even more. We want to get the rest of our youth involved also. Amen. Because we want to raise them up in here so they don't get hung up in the things of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's very important. Amen. Working on the youth. That's the next generation of Christians. Amen. We thank God for them. Amen. Also, it is just a blessing to be here. Amen. At this time.
Yes, it is.
Amen. We're going to move right along. Take it up just a little bit higher here. And if you don't have a copy of our lesson for today, it will be found. Just raise your hand. We'll have the ushers bring you one over. If you didn't happen to receive a handout. Amen. We're going to make this list available for those who want to sign up for that Sykeston trip for after the service. We'll try to remind you. Amen. Sometimes good to have some fellowship with the Christians and get out and just enjoy some good food. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. We can taste and see. Amen. God wants you to experience him in all of your senses. Amen. Amen. So it's a good thing to be able to do that. Amen. So without any further delay, if everybody's on the same page, I did have some notes. I'm going to ask Brother Ron if he wouldn't mind when he gets a minute to toggle that screen over to one passage. You can just wake it up for now, okay? And then I have a passage I want you to meditate on here today. It has to do with our lesson, amen. And we'll get over to that in just a minute. Amen. But before we do that, I do want to thank God for all of you being here.
Amen.
We are, as we said, we have turned the corner on a new year of ministry and are looking forward to seeing what God has in store for St. Timothy and the church in this year.
Yeah.
Amen. We know it's something good because God is always doing a good thing. Amen.
Always.
Amen. He has never let us down at any time. Amen. And he never will. That's what he said. He said, "Lo, I will never leave you,
never,
nor forsake you." Amen.
Right.
I have to rely on that when things are not going the way I like sometimes. Stuff doesn't seem right in the world. I rely on what the Lord said. He said, "He says, Lo, I am with you always.
Always.
Even to the end of the world." So if what's happening to you is not the end of the world, then he says, "I'm with you."
Yeah.
And even if it is the end of the world, he says, "I'm going to be with you." So even when if stuff is looking pretty bad, sometimes when you're having a bad day, it's a good thing to remember that he said, "Lo, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Amen. So he is there with you. He said, "I'll be with you in trouble. I'll go through whatever you're going through. I'm going to go through with you." You know, so you're never by yourself. And don't think about turning back, because he said, basically, you want to remember Lot's wife. Don't think about looking back.
That's right.
But look forward to what God is doing in your life, even if you're going through some trials.
Yes.
Right now, trials come with this life.
Yes, it does.
John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. But in the world you shall have tribulation." So he said, you're going to have tribulation. It would be foolish for us to say, "Oh, you're not going to have any problems." Yes, you are. You're going to have some trouble. But the difference is, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. So no matter what you're going through, he says, "I am with you." Amen.
Yes, Lord.
So I'm going to have you look at the handout here. We're going to take a look in the Old Testament in a book this is the prophet Isaiah. Amen. And we're going to take a look at what the prophet Isaiah said, and we'll show you how that relates to what Paul is talking about in our featured study, which is in Romans chapter 15. Amen. So we want you to have a stand at this time. Let's just stand and we'll hear the reading of the word. We're going to start on Isaiah 52:10-15. And we have highlight of a few verses I want to talk with you about just a little later. And then we'll be hearing a New Testament reading from Romans 15:16-21. Amen. And the deacons will conduct the reading of the word. We ask that you give them your attention at this time. Amen.
Amen. The Lord had made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Mm. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, mm. and the God of Israel will be your reward. Re-reward.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Mm-hmm. As many were stoned of thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, mm-hmm. and his form more than the sons of men.
My, my.
So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider.
Amen. Wow. Amen. The reading of the word of the Lord to the people of God, the blessed word of the Lord in the Old Covenant. And now for the New Testament reading, this will be Romans 15:16-21. Amen.
That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be accepted, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the gospel, I mean the Gentiles, obedient by the word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yes, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not what Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Mm-hmm. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard, shall understand.
Amen. 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 The reading of the word of the Lord to the people of God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to use for a topic for this message today, one gospel to all nations. Amen. One gospel to all nations. Amen. The gospel, as we say, is that good news from God. It's amazing to me when I think about, out of all the things that men have done on the earth, that God has any good news for man. You would think he'd just say, hey, look at all this whack nonsense that's going on down here. You know, and we think about it with a human mentality, we get upset very easily about stuff if it doesn't go the way we want it to. You know, it's very easy for us to become frustrated.
Yes.
So when you think about the patience of God and the mercy of God, and what God comes with is not a message of imminent judgment, but yet he comes with a message of gospel, good news.
Yeah.
In other words, that word gospel is comes from a Greek word, euangelizo, and it means good news. It is a good message from God. Now, I would think, like I said, if it was up to some of us, we might not have a good message. We might want to say, okay, all you turkeys, you know, I'll fix you. You're doing that okay, but God doesn't come that way. He says, I love you just like you are. I understand that you have issues and that you're going through changes. You may not even have ever thought about me. I surrounded you with my goodness so that you could know that I'm here. Most of what we go through in life is good. We would all admit that. You know, if some people are having a really, really hard time, and maybe you've gone through a season of hard times when things were like, it looks like it was never going to stop, you know.
Right.
And it just kept going. But by and large, you're still here. God spared you. He brought you through it.
Amen.
No matter what you went through. And that's his way of showing you I love you. Now, there are some opposing forces places in the world, and it's not God.
That's right.
You know, people sometimes get to be an obstacle, and they will hold you up because people don't think like God.
Amen.
You know, people say, you know, they say stuff like, oh, you know, you get me, I'm going to get you back. And, you know, we go tit for tat sometimes. And that type of thing. We got all kinds of sayings. Do unto others first. You know, before they do unto you. That's the way people think, you know. You know, and they look out for themselves. But God says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat people the way you want to be treated. See, and we don't like that, because if you're not treating me the way I want to be treated right now, I'm not feeling you.
Right.
That's the way we get. You know, we hold back some of the compassion that we would have. And God says, treat people the way you want to be treated anyway.
That's right.
No matter how they treat you.
Amen.
Because God will never judge me for how you treat me, but he will judge me for how I treat you.
That's right. That's
See
right.
what I'm saying? So we have to think of it that way. So from God's perspective, he didn't send an evil message. He sends a message of good news.
Yeah.
And this is what we call the gospel. It is the flagship of the church.
Oh, yes.
Nothing in the church is more important than the gospel. The good news that God loves you,
yes,
no matter who you are, just like you are, and he will accept you right now, just like you are. He paid the debt so that he could do that. He did that long time ago by his son, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He allowed him to come into the world to pay our bill.
Right.
You know, we struggle with bills sometimes. Bills are kind of an everyday problem, you know what I mean? And they keep coming. Looks like they never go away, you know. You're always getting bills. You always got some debt, something you owe. And you're always figuring out, how am I going to pay it? And all of that. And sometimes that becomes a load.
Right.
But the biggest bill we had was to God.
Yeah.
Because we owe him for our sin debt.
Yeah.
And God decided, well, you know what, their bill is so large, they'll never be able to pay me. So let me fix it. I'm just going to fix it. I'm going to send my son right into the midst of all their turmoil.
Yes.
And all of them down there fighting one another, trying to get more for me and stack my stack bigger than your stack and compare my stack with yours and talk about you if yours is not big as mine. You know, that's how people do. You know, and I like that song Pink Floyd wrote, talking about money. It's about money, get back. I'm all right, Jack, keep your hands off my stack. You know, I'm good. You know, I got what I need. You know, and that's how people think. We relate to that because we think that way. You know,
yes, we do.
You know, and so basically, but God is saying, okay, you know, you can stack up everything, but it all belongs to me.
That's right.
This is the thing you learn when you start to think like God does. He brings you into a family of other people who trust him and believe in him. And he lets you know, I'm settling your debt. What you owe me, I'm going to cover you so I can have a right relationship with you.
Yeah.
That's why we call it gospel.
Yeah.
He's coming in, he's saying, you know what, Fisher, no matter what you have done to me in all of your life, and you've done plenty, and I say, yes, Lord, I have, you know. I sent my son into the world before you were born.
Yes.
And I allowed him to hang on a Roman cross to show you just how ugly sin was. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. When you see the cross, you see the ugliness of sin.
Yes.
That's as ugly as you can get. God became flesh and dwelt among us. John 14, chapter number 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what did they do? They found God guilty and crucified him. Nailed him to a tree. And he already knew they were going to do it. He had written it in the word.
That's right.
So he already knew that. He understood that sin is an ugly thing that has no limits. You know what? I'm scared of myself sometimes when you think about some of the stuff you thought that you might like to do.
Hello.
Sometimes. Just think about those things.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to take a minute. This is a time for evil regression. Think about some of the stuff you thought you'd like to do, and you didn't do it. You stopped short of doing that thing, whatever it was.
Amen.
You know, and now you look back and you go, boy, you know, I had the potential. I could have done this, that, or the
That's
other.
Right.
And I would be in a lot worse condition than I am now.
Yeah.
Think about that. The stuff that you thought about, not the stuff you did.
Right.
You know, some of us went across some lines. We crossed some lines and did some stuff we wish we hadn't had.
Amen.
You know, and but think about this now. All of mankind doing all that wrong all the time in the world, and God was there thinking about mercy for you.
Yes.
He was there thinking about grace for you, to cover you, even though you got out of the way, that you done something that was not, that you're not even happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I want to forgive you so I can have a right relationship with you.
Amen.
So I can accept you just like you are, wherever you are in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make the rest of your life great.
Yes.
That's the promise. Doesn't mean you won't have trouble, but you can get rid of the guilt of all that that stuff from the past. Yeah. You can put it behind you. Why? Because God allowed his son to be crucified on the cross. You know what? We judge those people who nailed Jesus to the cross and go, oh, that was really evil. Because he came in, he did nothing but good his whole life.
It's like
and look at those evil people back there hammering those nails, and it's God's son. We like to judge them and put them down. We might have been there. Had we have been there, we don't know what side of that we would have been on.
That's right.
Because the extent of sin is a very frightening kind of a thing. I am so happy I didn't do all the stuff I thought about. You know, if I had done some of the stuff I thought about, I probably wouldn't even be here today. Because I've had some intense evil thoughts.
Yes.
You know, somebody did you wrong and you sit there and say, oh, you sucker, you. And you're thinking in the back of your mind what you might have liked to do, you know. But you didn't do it. Somehow God restrained you from going as far as you might have.
Thank you, Jesus.
Or some other things in other areas. We're not going to open up all those evil cans in here this morning. You know, but there's a lot of evil cans of worms of places where you might have went on some plane or another. Yes. Not necessarily violence. Might have been lust. Might have been greed. Might have been covetousness. Might have been any of those things that we know are evil. But we didn't cross some of those lines. Some of them we did, and then we got over there and found out, boy, I don't feel so good about this. So God knew that about every person. And in spite of that, he said, if I don't help them, they can't be helped.
Right.
Because sin doesn't really know any end. It knows no limit. It'll go to the extent of crucifying God on a tree, hanging him up between heaven and earth, finding him guilty, and murdering him, basically, is what would have happened. Now, if they could have murdered Jesus, they would have, but they could not murder him. He said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. So they did everything they could to him. Had you been doing any of that to me, I would have been gone a long time before he was, when he was being tried that evening and found guilty. He could, we could have died from any of the things that they did to him, any one of those things, like the flogging that they put on him with the 40 lashes. You know, Pilate did that to try to get himself off the hook. He didn't really care what happened to Jesus.
Right.
He said, let me just have them beat him, and when they see him suffering, they'll say, let him go. Because I don't really want to punish him. See? So he said, beat him, flog him, and he ordered him that he be flogged. And the Jews watched, and they cried for more blood.
That's right.
Even though they flogged him 40 times, 40 lashes. You see? And they said, he said, there's your king. He brought him out all wrapped in the bloody robe. Says, behold the man. And set him before the people, hoping they would say, oh, that's enough, Lord. Just stop right there. Don't do anymore. You know what they said? Crucify him. They pressed and went over the line. Kill him anyway. We saw you beat him. That's not enough for us. We want his life. Those Jews, these were the religious leaders who were supposed to be in charge. They cried for more blood.
Yes, they did.
You know, Jesus stood there in the robe, in the seamless garment, dripping with blood from all those wounds from being flogged all night long. He had already been beaten before by others.
Yes.
And then they pressed the crown of thorns into his head, and he was bleeding even more. You and I would have died from bleeding to death by now. But he was supernaturally producing all the blood he needed to take all the abuse that they shelled out. Every bit. And then the determination was, after they said crucify him, Pilate washed his hands and went and sat down on the judgment seat. You know, because he knew he was having an innocent man put to death.
He knew.
But he says, crucify him then if that's what you want. Because they threatened Pilate. They said, if you don't crucify him, you are no friend of Caesar's.
Yep.
See, they put him between a rock and a hard place. So he said, well, look, I'm not about to have trouble with Caesar. So he covered his own back, said, crucify him, take him away.
Yep.
And they took him away. But he tried one more thing, as we know the story says. He said, well, how about Barabbas, y'all? Which one you want? I get to let one go free. Which one will it be, Jesus or Barabbas? Now, they know, everybody knows Barabbas is the worst snook you ever seen.
That's right. Yes, he was.
We know you got a notoriety in the street that you're whacked.
Yes.
That you're seriously crazy. That you've done all kinds of stuff that everybody knows you're wrong. They put him up there, an obvious guilty criminal.
Yes.
And said, take him or him, which one? To let go free. And they said, well, we know we don't really want him free. He just broke in my crib last week.
Right.
You know, this is the way Barabbas had an account like that. We certainly don't. But instead, let Barabbas go and give us Barabbas. Let him go. And they knew, even though they knew he was wrong as two left shoes, we would say. You know, but they let Barabbas go. But you know what? Jesus came for that reason, to let guilty crooks go free. To exonerate you and free you from your sin. So Jesus wanted Barabbas to be free.
Amen.
Why? Because I came to set them free. And really, he can't do anything to help you.
No.
I'm the only one that can help you.
That's right.
So I must go to the cross. And he knew that in his own mind. What gets me is he was willing to go to the cross for me.
Yes, he was.
No matter what. And he already knew how it would turn out.
My Lord.
And yet, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Yes.
Despising the shame.
Yes.
And it sat down. That was a shame. That was the most shameful thing that ever happened in the history of time. The Son of God crucified on a tree. And I want you to see this because it's very important that we understand that God loves us that much.
Yes, he does.
Jesus loves you that much. And you have to make the distinction because Jesus, the man, has two natures.
That's right. Amen.
He has the nature of a man, but he also has the nature of God.
Amen.
He had to tone down the nature of God in order to inhabit a human body because God is more massive than what could ever be contained in its fullness in a human body.
Yes.
You know, in that sense. Because of sin, but there was no sin in Jesus' body because of the manner in which he was born, which God had predicted and written in the Word,
yes,
so that he could inhabit human flesh and not become sinful. That's why the virgin birth is an important doctrine, and we're not going to talk about that this morning. But that's how Jesus came into the world from being equal with God the Father and became flesh in order to pay our bill for our sins.
Yeah.
And so what we see on the cross is Jesus paying the entire debt for all of the sins of all of humanity, but it only is allotted and applied to whosoever believes in him.
Amen.
That's why John 3:16, and this is not in our text, and I'll get to it in a minute. It says, for God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it has to do with who believes in him.
That's right. Amen.
And it doesn't have to do with if you know about him. Everybody knows about him.
Oh, yes, they do.
Because he's the most famous person on earth.
Yes, he is.
People don't like that. A whole lot of folks hate the fact that he is the most famous person on earth. And they wouldn't say he is. A lot of people want to say, oh, no, no. What about Buddha? What about Muhammad? And they want to go talking about all these other people. But you know, Buddha and Muhammad are not in your calendar. Yes, Jesus is.
Jesus.
It's 2015 because Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. God configured time in the world around his Son. So you cannot easily dismiss his claims, the claims that he makes that he is God. You won't be able to do it unless you ignore a whole lot of facts and a whole lot of history. You need to throw out history, throw out the calendar. You got to throw out all kinds of things that God has fixed in place so you would believe.
Yes.
And he gave his Son for you. He's not even against you. He loves you.
Yes, he does.
And he wants to make it so it's impossible for you to really ignore Christ. And so this is why we call it good news.
Good news.
Even though it was the ugliest thing that you can imagine, the Son of God being nailed to a tree.
Yes.
It was the most beautiful thing because God said, this is the extent that I will go through to show you how much I love you.
Yes, that's love.
You can't say anybody ever loved
that's
you like
love.
That.
Amen.
That I would allow myself to suffer all this pain, all this distress, all this humiliation, all this shame, all this disgrace heaped up on me. I become the spectacle of the world for you.
My Lord.
So he proved his love toward us. We quoted this morning in Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
He did that because God had a righteous requirement that someone must pay their bill.
Yes.
Jesus said, I'll go down, Father, and pay their bill.
Yes.
He took on the body of flesh and allowed himself to be marred. We're going to look at it. Let's put in right here in Isaiah 52. Now, this verse is quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans 15. So let's go to the Old Testament first. Now, you all know we've been talking about, as we've been taking this trek through Romans here, that the gospel was always for every person. Even though God set apart the Jews for a time period in order to give the Bible to the world, to offer up his Son, Jesus Christ came out of the Jews.
Amen.
To show people a righteous standard in the world, he also had in his mind that he would save all the people. You can tell from the Abrahamic covenant that he says, in your seed, in Genesis 12, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Amen.
So God has never tried to hide that from anybody. Yep. It's point blank, wide open in his word all the way through.
Yes.
But it was a mystery to the Jews, and it's a mystery to everyone. Nobody really understood that God was trying to save everybody, even though he called the Jews out to be a special people for his own possession. And so what I want you to see here in Isaiah 52. Notice this. Isaiah is speaking in the same mindset of what I just said. The fact that God is trying to reach all the people in the world. Always has been.
Always.
But it was concealed in the Old Testament. Here's a place where you can see it clearly. Isaiah 52 and 10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. See that? What happened to Jesus was a public spectacle. It was in that word nations could be translated Gentiles.
All right.
If you were to look at the Hebrew construction of that word. And notice this, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. See, so God says this gospel is for the whole world.
Yeah.
One gospel for all the nations. And this is Isaiah saying this.
Yes.
This is 500 years before Christ was born.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 52, 11. Depart ye, go out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. So the people who represent God are to come out and be separated from the rest of the people in the world who ignore God, who do not know him, that act as though he doesn't exist. Notice this, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you. God says, I go before you when I send you out.
Yes.
And the God of Israel will be your re-reward. I'll reward you again. That's double reward. Re-reward. See that? He's not like one reward. I'm a re-reward. Yes. Do it again, in other words. That's how we perceive that.
Yes.
Now behold my servant. Now who is his servant? Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
He shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. That's a prophecy of coming Messiah. And many were astonished at thee. His visage, speaking of his appearance, in other words, his visible appearance, was marred more than any man. See that? And his form more than the sons of men. He was wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah goes on to say in chapter 53.
Yes.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Talking about the servant of the Lord. This is 52 now. We backed up a chapter off of 53. And he says here his visage, in other words, his outward appearance was marred more than any man. See that? No normal man could take it. He had to be God enclosed in flesh to take the whipping and the beating and the spitting on him and all those things, ripping out his beard, flogging him like it was just crazy the way he did. It was beyond the most serious violence you can imagine. And he was marred more than any man and his form more than the sons of men. See that? So shall he sprinkle many nations. That's a liturgical word. It means they used to sprinkle things with blood and with water to cleanse them in the sight of God. It was a ritual in the temple. But now he's saying this servant is going to sprinkle many nations. Wash away their sins is what that means.
All right.
The king shall shut their mouths at him. See that? For that which had not been told them shall they see. See, this is stuff that was concealed. Talking about even the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard, they shall consider. So there was some concealment of the gospel in the Old Testament. Now the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, we've been seeing how he was a Jew himself who didn't see the fact that the gospel was to all the nations. It was for everybody. But the Jews tried to make it exclusive just for them. But God wants it to go to the ends of the earth. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, Jesus said, and then the end shall come. And so he was sending out the apostles after he had risen from the dead. Not only was he crucified and gave up his life, but he rose from the dead after 3 days and nights. That's important. He did that to show you that even the problem of death, we would all agree that death is the worst thing we know about. It has broken our hearts many times if we've been any age at all. I mean, even the young people in here have seen the ugliness of death. We may not have understood it. When you go stand next to a coffin and hear somebody will never react with them again in life, that hurts. It really does.
Yeah.
Because they're gone. That's it. They're out of my life and I'll never see them again, we think in our minds. Although God says they are absent from the body if they were saved and present with the Lord. And there's going to come a day when all of us will have to face that enemy of death. Death was a penalty for sin. But yet God gave the solution to the penalty of death, and that was the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead.
Yeah.
So we rely on Christ because he gives us a power of victory, even over the ugliest thing we know, which is death. Because death was swallowed up in victory when he got up out of the grave.
Yeah.
So that's why the resurrection is an essential part of the gospel, the good news. Because it isn't good news. If you have some religion that's going to keep you in the grave, or you don't know if you're saved or not, what kind of good news is that? It's good news because we know God gave his son.
Yeah.
His son came into the world, took that beating and all of that animosity against himself, and he endured it all until everybody had done every possible thing they could. When they got through, he cried out. Even God forsook him on the cross. We know that. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he was still not dead. So he's up there in great victory, even though it's an ugly scene. And then when it was all done, after he had done everything to fulfill the scripture, said, I thirst, which was written in the word, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He commanded a perfect, unblemished, unspotted spirit to go up to God. And he gave up the ghost. And when he hung his head and died, he was the one in charge. And he did that because no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. Then he went to the grave. They wrapped him in the burial linens, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, took him and laid him in Joseph's borrowed tomb, rolled the stone in front of it, and the Sabbath was drawing nigh at the time that this took place. Then 3 days and three nights passed. And they came on the third day morning, early on the first day of the week.
Yes.
And Messiah had gotten up out of the grave. The stone was rolled away. Victory was his. Victory was yours if you trusted him. He did that not so much for himself as he did for us. So this is the bright side of it. The ugly side is the cross. And him being marred and misjudged, crucified, and slain and laid in a grave. The beautiful side is the victory in 3 days and nights. When he got out of the grave declaring victory. Victory over death, victory over Satan, victory over hell, victory over sickness and disease, victory over violence, victory over pain, victory over suffering, victory over everything that was inflicted against him. And he got up and said, behold, I am he who was dead, now I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And he gives us, he says, I have the keys of death and of hell. See, and I give you that power and that victory by my spirit to go into all the world and teach all the nations. And so he proclaims what Isaiah has said here. Now the Apostle Paul, like the rest of the Jews, didn't get the picture at first. That's why they crucified him. They were blind, spiritually blind. But now when we see Saul of Tarsus get turned around to become the apostle to the Gentiles, as he's proclaimed himself here, Romans 15:16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ. He almost had to put a question mark there. To the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. He says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Romans 15:18, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. So that's the purpose of the gospel, is to empower you to be obedient to God by word and deed.
Amen.
Not just to know the word, but to practice the word. Through mighty signs, he says, and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum. Now, Dr. Ryrie says Illyricum, which at that time was called Illyricum, is present day Yugoslavia, if you look that up. It's just a footnote. He says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. We don't know this. Illyricum is a word we don't recognize very much because the name of that country has changed since that time. Today it's called Yugoslavia.
Wow.
So the gospel was moving. God was moving through Paul, taking the gospel to Gentiles, countries that had not been raised on the word of God. He says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named. In other words, I'm going other places where Jesus had never been heard of to share the gospel, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, now here's a quote from Isaiah, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. See that? So Isaiah said, people who never were raised up in the truth are going to see and understand by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we hope that's you today. The law and the prophets were fulfilled with the inferences. They were just filled, I should say, with inferences about Gentile salvation.
Yes.
Which were read by the Jews, but yet not fully accepted as showing that God has no respect of persons. They didn't quite get that. And that it always has been the desire of God to save anyone who believes and approaches him acceptably.
Right.
If you come by his way, he will save you. For example,
yes,
we talked about Ruth.
Yeah.
Ruth had faith. Naomi told her, hey, your husband's dead, my husband's dead, everything is bad and horrible. She gave a bad testimony.
Yeah.
Just go back where you were.
Yeah.
I'm going
on.
She had no reason to believe. But she said, I'm hanging on to you, sister, no matter what you do. Wherever you go, I'm going.
Yeah.
And your God's going to be my God.
Because
I have faith in your God.
Yeah.
Naomi was a bad witness.
Yeah.
She said, don't call me Naomi no more. Just call me bitter. Oh, I'm broken down. Then lost my husband, lost my son. And now she was a bad witness. But Ruth somehow, through her sadness, could see that her God was the true God.
Thank you, Lord.
And she latched on, and she was a Moabitess.
Yes, she was.
So she should never have been saved. She was not a part of the covenant people.
Right.
But she latched on to Naomi and said, wherever you go, I'm going.
All right.
And no matter what we went through, that's it. We're going through it together, and I'll be with you till I die.
All right.
Period. Stuck like glue. It's me and you. That's it.
Yeah.
And other people latched on to God.
That's right.
You know, and these were Gentiles, not Jews.
That's right.
They held on to the true God, Rahab the harlot.
Mm-hmm.
The harlot? Yes.
Yeah.
The harlot.
She was in business. Apparently she had it going on.
Oh, yeah.
She was up on the city wall, the wall of Jericho, had her shop set up right up on the top there. And the king and all them coming up asking, where's those men? They didn't It wasn't strange for them to go visit the harlot.
That's right.
You know, they didn't mention that in the text. It's like, whoa, okay, wait a minute here, what's going on? And yet she had faith.
Yes, she did.
She said, boy, we heard about your God and how God went before them and knocked all those people down, shut down all those kingdoms and all that.
Oh, yes,
and whoever that God is, that's the God I want to serve.
That's right. That's right.
Even though she was having problems with the way she did things.
Yes.
I mean, and she was up there doing terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the king had somebody come up, hey, find out where those men went. They were going in and out like it was a normal, everyday, regular business. Like, okay. And Rahab lied. She said, well, you know what? See that dust cloud over there? That's them going over the hill. If you run now, you can get them.
Yeah.
If you can catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And she lied, told them. She covered them with flax, the messengers that had come from the promised land.
Yes.
To spy out Jericho, because she wanted to be saved.
Yeah.
And you know what? She got saved.
Yes, she did.
And you'll look and find her name in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Jesus Christ.
Yes, she did.
She married into the family.
Yes, she did.
And got saved. So many of these things are showing you that God accepts anybody. If you have faith,
he's so good.
He accepts you.
Good.
If you trust in him and believe the good news, God says, I will save you right now.
Yes.
On the spot.
That's right.
And so if you're not saved, it's not God's fault, especially not after today.
Right.
If you trust God right now, he has already given his son for you.
Yes.
He loves you just like you are.
Yes.
And you don't have to change anything. You don't know how. If you did, you would already have done it.
Yes. Right.
But God will show you how. He'll fix you right now.
He will fix
He'll show you what you need to do to straighten up the mess that's going on in your life right
Amen.
Now. He's the only one can do it. And I know that because I had a mess myself. And it didn't start getting right until I said, Lord, I need you. I need you and I cannot get along without you. And if you will accept me right now, like the preacher said, that you gave your son for me, I'm coming right now. And I wanted to come because I need help. You know what? God wants to help you, but he won't do it against your will. I had a young man who came here, and I'm just about done. He always wants help. And I have tried to help him. I said, okay, now why don't you come to church? And he won't come to church. And so I just told him the other day, I said, you know what, I would really love to be your pastor, but I am not interested in being your banker. If you won't come to church so you can learn how to get your mess fixed, I'm not even helping you by giving you some money. You're getting worse and doing worse and going on down a dark road that you will never find the answer to it because you won't get right until you trust in Jesus Christ. So if you refuse the medicine, I don't know what to tell you. You know what? If you go to the hospital and you sit there and they come in, okay, we took x-rays, we analyzed you, and we think you need some of this here. And they hand it to you and you go, oh no, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to you? You know, you can sit right there and lose your life.
Yes.
But these people have done an analysis. They know what's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, here's the cure. Go ahead, drink it.
Right.
And you say, nah, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. Let me go. And you get up and leave.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See, you have to take the medicine. God wants you to take the medicine. He has what we need.
Oh, yes. He
has already given his son to make a payment for everything you need.
Right.
And if you refuse to take the medicine, that's your fault.
Right.
Because this is for whosoever will.
Whosoever will.
And he has it available for you.
Amen.
You know what? I'm better than I was. I'm taking a dose as often as I can get one.
Glory,
I'm getting my treatments right now.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm getting better. I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
But I do feel the healing coming on. Amen. It is coming on.
Yeah.
So this is a special time in history, and this is when universal salvation is to be preached to all who accept Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, as Savior and Lord, and believe that God has raised him from the dead. This is called in the scriptures the times of the Gentiles, because there are more Gentile believers than there are Jews. Did you know that? The Jews as a nation reject Christ right now. They're over there now trying to have military and all kinds of different stuff. They got the prime minister busily trying to build up stuff. They don't have a king anymore. They don't have priests anymore. They don't have a temple anymore. They have nothing that God says that they should have in order to approach him properly. And they're still over there playing Israel, playing Judaism. But God still loves them. He's going to turn them around at the end of the time. That's what all the prophets say. And so we know that that's coming soon. I don't know when he's going to turn them around. I pray they turn around today. I'd like to turn on the TV today and find out that they're on their face worshiping Christ. That'll let me know what time it is. The Lord has told us to keep our eyes on Israel.
Yes.
You know, the fig tree, it says, and that's the symbol of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is nigh.
Mm-hmm.
See? So when we start to see Israel returning to God, that's going to be a special time in history. But right now, the door is open to whosoever will.
Yes.
You know what? It will always be open to whosoever will. But the mystery is that Israel is going to turn back to Christ.
Yes.
The Messiah who they rejected. The Bible says they're going to look upon me whom they have pierced and mourn for me as for an only son.
Yes.
You see? And that time is coming. We don't know when it'll be, but right now it's getting closer and closer. But it's every second of the clock right now is a time for you to come to Christ. And we want to ask you today, if you are here and you have not professed that Christ as your Savior, come today. And we would like to receive you into the family of God. And if you are here and you are saved and you'd like to partner with us as a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we want to invite you to come today.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Right now, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come right now, because this is the acceptable time. Now is the acceptable time. You know, we don't know. Every second that goes by, we come closer to that time when Jesus will take up the church. The next event on God's calendar is raising up the church, the return of Christ. The Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God.
Yes.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord.
Oh,
so it's coming a day when God, this time period, which is an open time period now, for the salvation of whosoever. In other words, it doesn't make any difference where you were born, by whom you were born.
Amen.
But some people say, well, I don't even know who my parents are. It doesn't make a difference. If you're here today and you can hear my voice, today if you can hear my voice, the Bible says, harden not your heart. It's for you. It's for you to come. God wants you to come today. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be sure about it. And he wants you to become a part of the force working toward bringing others to Christ.
Yes.
And that's what we do. That's what we're here for. We want to let people know that there's nothing you can do to save yourself, but God has done everything to save you.
Yes.
And he has already done that if you trust him and if you believe him. Whoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall not be put to shame, the Bible says, but shall receive salvation. He wants you to be saved. And I might be speaking to different kinds of people here today. There may be someone here that is saved,
and you want to partner with us, we'd like to invite you to come and be a member of St. Timothy MB Church. Put yourself in harmony with us to help us reach out and spread the gospel to the world. Maybe you have people in your family who need to be saved that aren't saved, that you may want us to work with you, to pray with you, to intercede with you on their behalf. You know, this is the time we need to seriously check ourselves and
look at
who the people in our families and in our workplaces and in our life period, on our schools, jobs, wherever we are. That's why you are where you are. God has put you in a unique place.
Amen.
There's people you see every day I'll never see. Did you know that?
Amen.
And I see people every day you will never see.
That's right.
Just in our regular circle of life where we go and do what we do. Everybody's in a unique spot.
Amen.
And there's some people you deal with no one else in this room deals with.
That's true. That's true.
So when God is working on you, he's working on everybody in your circle.
Amen.
You know, and he can help bring in those people who you would like to see a change in their life.
Yes.
I bet you know somebody who needs a change in their life.
Hello.
You know, I bet there's someone you know. If it's not you, someone does. There's somebody you know that would be improved by a relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
No doubt, no doubt.
So God is able to use you just like he used Rahab to reach her whole family.
Yes.
Amen.
And her whole household got saved when she got saved.
Household. That's right.
The Philippian jailer, he said, gentlemen, what must I do to be saved?
Yes. Yes.
And he went and they baptized at his house and his whole household got saved. You see, and so salvation is something that God works through you and he would like to spread it out to people you know. And because his desire is that no man would perish, but that all would come to repentance and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. So we come really like Paul says, we plead with you.
Yes.
Come to Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. This is your time. Amen. God loves you just like you are.
Oh, yes, he does.
Don't think, I better wait till I do this, that, or the other. Don't think that way. That's a trick of the enemy in the flesh.
Yes, it is.
If you need to be saved, do it right away. Don't waste any time because you don't know when your last time will be. And that's not to scare you. It's just the way things are.
That's fact.
Amen. So if you're here today, we want to give you this opportunity to come to the Lord. Amen. All you do is come up, have a seat on this front row here. And we will receive you today as a member. We'll accept a member by letter, candidate for baptism. If you have not been baptized, the Lord said that you should be baptized by his church. And we want to invite you to come right now. Come to Jesus while you have time. To just let you out so you can come on up the aisle up there.
That's
why we ask them to stand to make it easier for you to come.
Yes.
Amen. Come on right now, whoever you are. Amen. God is here for you. He has given his son for you. He has made a way for you. And as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. Amen. So please come at this time if you're here. And you know you need to make that connection with the Lord. Come right now. Amen. We are not ashamed to plead. Paul says that we come to urge you earnestly to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's the equivalent of begging. We beg you to come right now and be reconciled to God. Amen. Amen. Come right now while the blood is running warm in your veins. Amen. Don't reject this opportunity to come to Jesus right now. Amen. We thank God for you coming in today. You have heard the gospel. The good news that he gave his son for you. Amen. Come right now. And today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Amen. Come at this time. Amen. 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 We thank God for the young man who has come. Amen. Amen. He has sister. You have his information. Okay, great.
Pastor, we have Brother Bob M. Daniel.
Amen.
He's on Christian Experience.
Amen.
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 Amen. All right, Brother Daniel.
Would you like to give any testimony about your experience as a Christian, or do you have anything you'd like to say to the church? You don't have to say, but speak up if you have something you want to say. Amen.
I don't know what to say.
Oh, that's
amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, no problem.
No problem.
Amen. We understand. We accept you on the basis of your testimony.
Amen.
Amen. And we want to extend you the right hand of fellowship.
Yes.
All rights and privileges as a member of St. Timothy MB Church. Amen. We're going to ask the deacons to extend also to you the right hand of fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll ask for the ushers to conduct the congregation coming to extend the right hand of fellowship. Amen.
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 Oh, yes.
What Lord, a fellowship.
What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting
glory. Hallelujah.
What a blessedness.
One of his amazing
glory. Hallelujah.
On the everlasting
school on Sunday morning. It's 9 a.m.
Yes.
Amen. We have Dr. Adams and a few doctors, Brother Raymond here from all doctors. Amen. But we have some good teachers here to help get you deeper into the word, and thank you for coming.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if you need a copy of the word, let us know before you leave today. Amen. We'll make sure you have a copy. Amen.
Of the Bible. We want to send you out with the good word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Start right away, because of the command from Christ to us is to go into all the world and teach all the nations.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's what we do. Make disciples.
Amen.
We want you to be a disciple. We are disciples. Amen. Because we don't know everything, but we are learning, and the Lord is teaching us as we go. Amen. So we thank God for a new brother in the church.
Amen.
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 Amen. And we know the Lord has great ministry for you. We don't know what, but he will reveal it to you as we go along. Amen. Amen. Having said that, Brother Michael. Oh, okay. All right. We want to take a photo so we can add the young man to our list of members. Amen. Amen. We thank God. Also, if there are any other visitors who have anything you'd like to say, we'd like to give you a space here to speak your mind. If there's anything you want to say, I want to thank my brother for coming back again this Sunday. Amen. Amen.